from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia.
You should go underneath it.
Oh, way out deep!
This is Cleats and Cuffs.
Hit man! Oh, what a one! Murray!
Everything ultimate, from the field to the boardroom.
Hey, you got this?
There?
Oh, yes!
Hello,
Mr. Graham!
And welcome to Cleats and Cufflinks. Good to have everybody back here. I'm back again. Second appearance back here with Luke Ryan, who is, and we keep going back and forth. You actually have an official title now. It is lengthy. Statistical Data and Research Coordinator? Nope.
Statistical Research and Analysis Coordinator.
Statistical Research and Analysis Coordinator.
Statistical
Track. It's a good title. I like it. Nice. I think it covers most of what you do.
Am I the first double, or was Dusty?
No, Dusty's been on a couple of times. I feel like we're going to see a lot of this. You know, a lot of people, and most of them right here around us in the control room over there, behind the cameras here, a lot of people will say that this show has a tendency to meander, to wander off course, to perhaps not be as succinct and well-defined as perhaps it could be. And, you know, to those that say that, I will point to the consistent rotating roster of guests. And so the suggestion is maybe some regular guests with some regular kinds of topics might lend themselves to a more, shall we say, organized effort. Hmm. Also, we did some organizing before we got on.
Yeah, it was very nice. And yeah. I'll try my best not to ramble.
All right. Well,
stay on point.
I'm not going to hold you to that. The first thing we're going to do, in keeping with this this idea of being a little bit more organized, is we're going to do a new segment that you're going to help me with, which is a thing we're going to do from now over the next probably couple of months, which is we're going to talk about some players that have signed over the last week. There have been a bunch that have signed over this last week, so we're only going to hit a few key names. Starting with, first of all, Peter Woodside out in Portland. So Woodside, I want to give a little bit of my impression of him. You know, I was out in Portland for the game that they lost against Seattle in the Western Conference final last year. And Woodside, during that game, made this incredible defensive play. Which some of you may have seen on SportsCenter. It was a solid play. He also, during the course of the game, we found out afterward, broke both of his arms. I want to let him off the hook on something, because he got a lot of flack for staying in the game and continuing to play with this injury. But the simple fact is he didn't actually know he had this injury. So people on Reddit are giving him a really hard time about staying in the game with this injury. Why did he do that? You know, ESPN's talking about it, and people think that he's being irresponsible, being a bad example to kids, and the fact that a Frisbee player is an example to kids is awesome,
yeah,
by the way. So we've got to that point. But everybody's saying that, and he's sitting at home in these double casts, unable to type a response to the trolling that's happening on Reddit, which I thought was a good story. But can you give us a little bit about what Woodside means to the Stags?
To the Stags. Well, this is a really good thing, because we're going to be talking about stats for this entire podcast. So I figured when we're going to be introducing the new stats that we're going to be highlighting on our box scores, on our pages, and just on our site in general, is with these three new players that we're announcing right now, or that we have announced, to get into some of the stats that we have, and I'm going to highlight one of each for each of them. So with Woodside, it was their breaks. So I'm going to probably the most unreal stat that I've ever come across in all 3 years of the league is Peter Woodside scored 31 goals total last year.
Okay.
26 of them came during breaks, so when his team was playing defense.
When his team started the point on defense.
Wow. So 26 break goals.
Wow.
And that is more than any other player's career total. The next closest is 24, and the next one after that is Jack Hatchett, who has been playing all 3 years with 21.
Wow.
And that's one season.
So do they just not let him on the field to play points when they start or is that irrelevant to this conversation?
It doesn't matter. He just, when he's on the field, he gets his blocks. They play very tenacious defense, and then it really helped that they had Dan Supnik just shooting it deep to him.
He's just a target afterward.
Yeah.
He's
turn
like,
and go.
For the Stags, he's like defensive Timmy Purston.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And
I
it
like
worked
it.
Out perfectly for him. He's perfect for, they already have a lethal offense, like you said, with Timmy Purston, and he really helps round out, give them a deep threat on defense as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. So we got Peter Woodside out there in Portland. In New York, Marcus Brownlee just signed his contract, I believe today. So today being Wednesday, you guys will be watching this on Thursday if you're right on top of your game. But he just signed his contract. Tell us a little bit about Marquez. Like, what makes him an important part of what New York's going to be trying to do this year?
Mm-hmm. It's strange to define him because Anthony Nunez hasn't really utilized him to the best of his strengths. But I also guess that it might be because he's a D-line player and that team doesn't normally get to play a lot of defense because...
They had a rough time last year. Not getting a lot of D points compared to O points. Yeah.
But this was another like stat that jumped off that I wasn't really aware of with Marquez. He plays a lot of defense for them. He's a handler for them on their D line, and he also has the second most amount of bookends in league history with four.
Which bookends. Actually, explain bookends. Bookends. To the people. Not everybody might know.
It doesn't matter bookends in this case if it's a defensive point or an offensive point, if you start the point on offensive right. defense. But you're playing defense, and then you register a defensive block, mm-hmm. and then on the next possession, right after you get that block, if you are the person catching the goal, that is known as bookends.
So you've bookended the possession.
You've
gotten the turnover, and then you've gotten the goal.
Yeah. You wouldn't be credited with a bookend if you got a block, let's say, on the first possession, and then ended up scoring a goal on the seventh.
So we could draw some conclusions for that.
Yeah.
You know, we could draw the conclusion that this is a guy who's hustling for mm-hmm. you. This is a guy who's going to both take the disc down and then he's going to get downfield and
exactly.
get the goal for you.
He just hasn't had enough time to really show his abilities. Maybe some time on offense would be good for him. We'll see. It really comes down to that.
What do you expect this year? Do you have any speculation about what we might see out of him? We're going to talk to Anthony Nunez, I think, this weekend.
He's coming in two days.
Yeah, he's coming in on Friday. We're going to get a little talk with him, and we'll ask him this question. Mm-hmm. But what do you think?
I think I'm going to hold off my judgment or until then because
I don't want to be wrong.
I don't want to say I see him more playing on the defensive side. But if their offense needs a little shot of life, I wouldn't be surprised if he came in and played with them.
Yeah, he's definitely a player. He's physically very gifted. So looking forward to seeing him on the field again. Mm-hmm. And then our last one is kind of interesting. This is a young kid. Mm-hmm. I can say kid because I'm so much older. You're not allowed to. You're only a couple years older. But this is Zach Norbom mm-hmm. down in D.C. signed just a little bit ago. Tell us what you know about him. What are we looking for out of this kid?
Well, during the summer, during the club season at regionals, he played for Ant Madness, and I myself played for Westchester's Bang. And we came up against them in pool play, and I spent 75% of the game guarding him. I played against him, and it was absolutely tiring. He kind of had the misfortune of being lower end of the roster last year because he's 20, 21 years old.
New to the side.
He's got a lot of experience, some of the best players in the world, not just the country, ahead of him. But what we really got to see out of him in the last game of the season when D.C. Sat a little bit of their starters in the game against New York, he played 5 points on defense, played 6 points on offense, and really took control of the disc, was the focal point of their offense, and actually ended up, got it on my post-it note here, with a 2.417 T-pop in that game.
T-pop.
Touches per offensive possession, which we'll get into
later. Okay, 2.4 touches per offensive possession.
Which is absurdly high amount.
Yeah, anytime they had the disc, he was touching it a lot.
He was touching it a lot. So if these numbers are any indication, if he gets any sort of sustainable time going forward next season, be it on offense or defense, just look for him to be a leader in either goals, assists, and especially T-pop. Probably going to lead that team on whatever side of the disc the coaches down in D.C. choose to put him in.
So you're telling me this is a good fantasy pickup?
Yes, very good fantasy pickup, right under the radar, I would say, but no longer.
No longer. Yeah. Not for long, anyway.
Yeah.
Coming around. Excellent. Well, so that's it. That's all I have for players. So that was the three players we're going to talk about this week. This is something we're going to be doing every week, so keep an eye out here. We're going to be introducing you to new players, old players, anyone you should be excited about this season, and we'll always come armed with a lot of this statistical data that makes it a little bit of a deeper cut, right?
Yeah.
Moving on, though, you said it a little bit earlier. Today we're going to be dedicating the bulk of the show to talking about statistics. And the reason that we're doing that is, A, you're the guest, so I don't think you know about anything else.
Yeah.
So clearly this is
the only thing going in my brain.
It's all that happens. Mm-hmm. But two, we have a new statistical interface that we're getting right on the verge of launching. Everybody should get a chance to take a look at this on Friday, which is, for those watching the podcast, when it's announced mm-hmm. tomorrow. And that this this new interface incorporates both some of the stuff that we did on fantasy, but also some of the stuff that we have been working on over the past couple of years. It takes all 3 years of our statistical data and presents it in a format that really, when you look at it, is reminiscent of what you might find on any of the sort of pro sports side of thing, or ESPN or something like that.
I would say immersive is probably the best possible word. Is the last time I was on here, we spent a lot of time talking about just our basic ideas of how ultimate stats should be taken and how we should interpret them. Should we be thinking about it on a game-by-game average, a point-by-point average, or a possession-by-possession average? And it was just a lot of broad ideas. But now that we have this system, and now we have these pages that we're about to release, I want to more dedicate explaining what they mean. So the first time somebody lands on this page, what is that? I don't understand. Because some of the terminology might be new, because it's something that no one else has done before.
Right.
But the fact that we have all 3 years of data, the fact that you will be able to land on a page and instantly be able to click from season, the 2013 season to the 2014 to 15, and now this upcoming season, 2016, look at every single player's card, and under all of their player cards, we have all of their game stats from every game they've ever played, all of the averages from every game they've ever played, their postseason records, their career totals. It's just all there, and you will never find a link on a page without being able to find another link that will bring you to another box score or another league leaders page.
Right, we've built like a wormhole.
Yeah, so you get lost in
it. It's going to suck you down. If you're a numbers person, we're going to have to send people to find you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was clicking through the other day, and you know, when you come in, like, there's a lot of entry points into the interface. You can enter through game information, getting into the box score, and drill down through that. I came in through the league leaders page. So if you go to the site and you hit the stats button, you're going to end up at what is the league leaders page. What do we have leaders for? We have it.
Goals, assists, points played, blocks, completion percentage, and T-pop.
T-pop. You love T-pop.
I love T-pop.
T-pop shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So we have those six things. And then in there you have the list of the top five players in that category. Mm-hmm. You can obviously see the full list of players, every single player in the league listed out, sorted by that category, and then you can resort that same list any way you want. But if you drill down into that, you get into the player card, and the player card will have their basic overview information, including like all kinds of detailed information about who they are. So what college they went to, you know, what
high school
they went to, weight, height, all the kind of details.
Adding
that
Twitter,
you want to know.
Twitter handle. We're
Twitter gonna handles.
If they have one, a lot of people don't have Twitter still. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it over? I can't
keep
track.
I
like Twitter. And then we want to do. There's stuff we're going to add to. We have a lot of other information that we aren't using. So left and right handedness, or ambidextrous. Or just throwing backhands with both hands, like some players we've seen. We'll be able to build all this information in there. But then under that, you have their performance from each game throughout the last season, or through the current season, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking, I remember, because I knew we were talking about Woodside today, I was looking at his player card. And then I looked at the games, and I saw, oh, he had a really good performance in this 1 week. I click on that, takes me to the box score. Now I'm right back in it. Looking at the box score, and then I see, oh, Cody Bjorklund's a top performer here, and he had 100% completion percentage this game, so I click on him. Brings up his player card, and like, just like you said, I'm just wandering down through the maze of these numbers, and it ends up being somewhat bottomless.
Mm. Oh, that was the plan, and it's actually working probably even better than we expected it to at this point.
And this is something where we're basically creating the kernel of what this is going to be in the long run, too, correct? So we're going to add a couple of more things. You want to talk a little bit about the things that, you know, people are going to get used to seeing what they're going to see.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to go, and they're going to be able to look at this tomorrow. But then what are they going to expect to see from us over the next couple of months in terms of additions to this?
Well, right now, like you said, we have the player cards, the score, box score pages. But we're going to look into, which was one of the things that excited, I think, almost everybody in the office, was the milestone tracker and the league record books. So we're going to be able to have a page completely dedicated to every single stat that we keep. The most goals in a game, the most goals in a season, the most goals in a career, even to like a possession, the most catches in a possession, the most... I could ramble on and on.
Can we get really obscure? Can I get best completion percentage in the rain?
If that's what we wanted to do, we could do that if we really want.
Let's not do that, but we could.
Yeah, we could.
That's the crazy thing. Yeah.
And then a milestone tracker. So essentially having a list of maybe the current players and their total, let's say, blocks. Current players, their total blocks, and a list. And then when is this player going to hit the 50 blocks milestone, the 75 block milestone, the 100 block milestone?
When are they going
to
break the record?
And when are they going to break whatever record may be there for them to break?
Career, season, game. Yeah. We can do any number of
exactly.
things. Exactly. Yeah. I'm very excited about it. Obviously, you know, we have a lot of new material coming out with this kind of update of the website. There's a lot of cool stuff to it, but this is the kernel of it. Mm-hmm. This is the core. And I think what we've realized, and the reason it's such an intensive part, and it's what we're focusing on, is because we realize that the way sports tells stories is through these kinds of numbers. And the fact that we've been able to invest the kind of time to go all the way to make sure that we have everything from day one on, that everything is in this database, everything's searchable, everything is presentable, is really, for the league, like a great asset.
Yeah.
And I think between you and, you know, Scott Helm and Tim Brubaker has been amazing mm-hmm. working on this, and we're going to have him on the show soon. Between all those people, we've realized that this is an asset that we're not taking advantage of as much as we should. And I think that this new platform is going to start to do that, to let people in to what we've been working on.
Well, like you said it best. It's sports is essentially at its core just storylines, and whatever drives the best storylines is numbers, stats. And I think we're running low on time, and we want to get into some other
things. Oh, we're going to move on to it. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about the time. I'll take care of that for you. You're so concerned. So yeah, so let's go into kind of what the next phase is. So people are going to get to go in, and they're going to get to look at this thing, and they're going to get to look at what we look at all the time in terms of stats. And it's more in-depth than what they may have seen if they played fantasy last year, correct? Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more in there. There's a lot more to tell the story, a lot more to dig into and work mm-hmm. with. And we felt that even though we've talked about sort of our philosophy around statistics, like how we believe they should be recorded, taken, we haven't talked as much about the specifics of how we understand stats. And so I want to get into some details now, almost to kind of terminology, if mm-hmm. you will, so that people understand what we mean when we're using certain terms and when they see certain terms used. Because we have a lot of crazy abbreviations and things like that that we want to make sure those are as clear as possible. And we're building a glossary so people will be able to look at that and be able to get definitions for this stuff. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to, you know, have conversations about it as well. Mm-hmm. So the first place this all starts is with what I like to call, because I like words, the statistical anatomy. What is the anatomy of our statistics? What is the sort of way that the whole thing is structured?
Yeah, you're much more eloquent with your words, so I'll try. If I do a poor job, please correct me. But I've had multiple conversations with multiple people talking about how what I should call things or how things are defined in the ultimate world now. And I asked maybe 50 people, and I got 50 different answers.
Yeah.
So everyone said, this is how we do it. And then I found another way that it was done. And I was like, all right, fine. Then we're going to do the 51st. We're going to do the 51st way. And we need people to understand the way we're using our stats. So technically, the game will start at its game.
There's a game.
There's
a season.
And there's a season. Okay, there's a season.
Then there's
Let's start at the game.
So let's get down to the game. We're in a game.
The game has the two teams that are playing. Mm-hmm. So let's just say the home team and the away team. So then we drill down into that, into the points. And each point, now instead of a home and away, has a team starting on offense and a team starting on defense.
All right, so game contains teams.
Yes.
Points contain team starting on offense, team starting on defense.
Yes.
Okay.
And then drill down even further into that, then you get the possessions. And then
The kernel. This is the core of what we really talk about.
Yeah, just possessions.
Possessions.
The way that you should and the way that we do and that you should be thinking about ultimate in general is possession based. Because everything happens a possession by possession, and people will talk about, oh, they scored 90% of their offensive points. Yes, but if they turned it over, how many possessions happened inside that point? There's so much going on. There's so much information that you're just cutting out by only looking at points, and no one's really been talking about possessions.
So a possession, let's clarify this. A possession then is the period of time between when one team takes over the disc.
Yes.
And when their ownership of the disc ends. So that could end in a point. It could end in a goal. It could end in a goal. It could end in a turnover. Or it could end in the end of a quarter or a period of time. So that's a possession. And the number of possessions that happen within a point could be...
Endless. We have it right here.
And there are both... Within that point, because we get into this too. Yeah. Within the point, there are both offensive possessions and defensive possessions. Okay.
So instead of, like you said, the term possession is when one team has the disc and when it ends. That it's more of a time period. It's not talking about a physical possessing.
It's literally a time period.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yes.
It's the period of time between when they take possession and when they lose it.
So those possessions, and this is the very important thing that needs to make sense when interpreting our stats, is a possession has an offensive side and a defensive side. So someone is playing offense during a possession, and then someone is playing defense during a possession. All the offensive stats, such as goals, assists, and so on, happen when your team is on offense during a possession.
Yep.
The blocks covered by a lot of stats that are there for the future that we haven't been recording yet will also go into the defensive side of a possession.
Yeah, and we should get into talking that about that a little bit too. We'll follow up on that.
Yeah.
But so give us like an impression. Like, so what are what's the most possessions we've ever had in a game?
Well, in one point.
The most possessions
was in the 2014 season. It was the first point of the fourth quarter. Vancouver was at San Francisco at Boxer Stadium, the infamous Boxer.
The windiest.
Yes. The infamous Boxer Stadium bounce.
Yeah.
And the most defensive possessions was played by the Nighthawks. They had 9 defensive possessions.
Wow.
They ended up not scoring the point.
What did they start on? Just out of curiosity.
They started on D because they only had 8 offensive possessions.
So they started on defense. They generated then
8 turnovers,
thus giving them 9 defensive possessions.
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's a long point.
Yeah. So let's think about it. If you're
I feel
only,
like I've played a few of those points in my life.
The point lasted 6 minutes and 45 seconds. But if, like we said before, if you're only looking at the point, then you're missing 6 minutes and 45 seconds worth of information and points and variance and whatever is happening in that point.
Yeah, you're missing the deeper understanding of the game if you're seeing it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing the fact that somebody won this point. And in that case, it's if you were to look at it from that high an angle, it's the most boring point ever. Because from a high angle, ignoring the possessions and just looking at the point level, Vancouver pulled, San Francisco scored.
Yeah.
Right?
That's all you have.
So we take these possessions. The next level that we drill down is what you talked about, which we refer to as actions.
Actions.
So actions can happen both on the offensive and defensive side.
They happen together.
They happen at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about this, and we said that, so there are what, four?
Four different types of actions. There's the pull, there's just basic gameplay, there's stoppages, and then there's infractions. A stoppage is a timeout, a weather delay, or an injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so each of these actions has a set number of potential results.
Yeah.
And what are those?
The results would be just a normal gameplay, a goal.
So normal gameplay is like
a completed
pass is normal gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A goal,
mm-hmm.
a turnover, or the end of quarter. Are the four like different results that can come about from any given action.
Got you. And then there's obviously a lot of reasons those results occur, and that's where we get into kind of the interesting statistics.
Yeah, in between is the 52 different variables that we have of mark types and throwing distance and whoever was targeted, who was playing defense on whoever was targeted, who caught it, if there was a block that happened. It's so rich in detail and so rich in like data that can be collected that if anyone's thinking, like we said, that's not thinking about ultimate at a possession level, just is missing the point.
So getting into that too, 52 data points on each of those actions, right? There's all this type of stuff we can collect. Right now, we have a handful of games where we've collected that level of information. What do we collect generally?
We're set up right now for 52, and obviously there's room for it to grow. Right now, we collect around 30 data points of those 52.
Per action. That's a lot of
which can all happen in live time, which is what's awesome about it.
That's what I'm really excited about myself. You know that.
Yeah.
So, All right, so that's the sort of basic setup. Now, people are going to get in now, and they're going to start looking at this. They're going to start looking at this data that we've put together, and they're going to have obviously some questions. So, at the core of those questions are a couple of key concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk a little bit about what those are. So, the first concept is very, very basic. This is the concept that most people in Ultimate probably understand, but we want to define it for ourselves, mm-hmm. and that's break and hold. So give us a little bit of a rundown of what we mean by break and what we mean by hold.
Yeah. Well, it was like I said, we were going over writing this glossary, and as I was writing it, I realized I was writing it for Ultimate players. So we need to really take another step back and say that a hold, while somebody that plays Ultimate might know, is that it is a goal that your team scores when you are receiving the pull, the disc. So you're playing offense to start the point. If you are playing offense at the start of the point and score a goal, it's a hold.
So break and hold are a point level statistic.
Yeah.
They happen at the point level. So if you start on offense and you score, you hold. If you start on defense and you score, you break.
You break.
Simple. All right, so this is what makes it more interesting. The next level down is opportunities.
Yes.
And this is where we get into some of our stats that are percentage-based.
Mm-hmm.
So what's an opportunity?
Yeah. Opportunities can be used interchangeably with possession. Okay. If you want to think about it in that light. So a break opportunity means an offensive possession for a team that started the point on defense.
All right. So you pull the disc. Mm-hmm. Every offensive possession you get during that point
is a break opportunity.
And every offensive possession that the team receiving the pull gets during that point is a hold opportunity.
Yes.
Excellent. So when we get into talking about opportunities and we want to understand how a team is performing in a game, we really want to understand what we want to understand with everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know how many opportunities they get and how often they convert them. In other words, we want to know their efficiency at converting their opportunities, correct?
Exactly.
So what is then, if we're looking at our box score, and we're looking below where it gives you just the basic rundown of what all the score is and all that, and who won, mm-hmm. and what the weather is and all that stuff, which is great. But we look, what is the first thing that's going to pop out to us, or what is sort of what you would think of as the key statistic that's going to pop out?
Well, we set up our box score essentially that you don't even need to look at player stats if you didn't want to, if you just wanted to get the story of the game.
Yeah.
So we have, right now it's labeled TSE, which is total scoring efficiency.
Total scoring efficiency.
So that is all of your scoring opportunities, be it break opportunities or hold opportunities, over the total amount. So your total goals over all offensive possessions or offensive opportunities.
So it's a really simple equation, yeah. in essence. This is the number of chances you had to score. It's the number of times that you had the disc in your hand, and this is how many times you actually managed to do that.
Exactly.
And that, in your mind, from what I understand, is the quintessential way of understanding the quality of a team, their ability to convert their opportunities. Obviously, one would also be concerned about a team's ability to generate those opportunities.
So breaks. Breaks is also the first number that you will see. Is does your team break or get broken? Right there, right out front, we've like highlighted it on the just basic box score of
right up at
the
score, top,
just
yeah.
right up at the top. It's the most important stat. But with the percentages, you always want to go down to that, and then you can break up that total scoring efficiency by their hold opportunities and their break opportunity possessions. So how often are they scoring their break opportunities and how often are they scoring their hold opportunities?
Right, I mean, we looked at New York, we saw that they didn't have a lot of break opportunities to have,
yeah.
but the percentage at which they score those might be an interesting
exactly.
sort of statistic, yeah. right? Because that means, yes, our offense isn't performing you know, where it should, and so we are not getting the same kind of break opportunities that other teams might get, but we're efficient at converting those. Therefore, we have a quality defense mm-hmm. that we were able to put on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this stuff. And so we get down through that. We boil down through this opportunities and efficiencies, and we have a bunch of different percentage breakdowns that which people are going to get to look at.
And it's going to confuse them to no end.
It's going to. And we're happy to answer any questions. Reach out and ask them, at Luke Ryan, MLU.
MLU Luke R.
MLU Luke R. At MLU Luke R. At Nick Darling, and I can just point you to at MLU Luke R, and we can answer all those questions. Right before we go, right before we wrap up, tell me what the heck T-pop is, because
it's my favorite stat.
And I know T-pop. You love it.
Yeah. T-pop is just your touches per offensive possession, and just at its, if you give it a glance, you'll understand how a team plays their offense or how a player plays their, like, the type of player that they are. If you have a high T-pop, that means you're more interested in getting the disc and moving it around. If you have a low T-pop as a team, then you're probably going to be able to understand that they're more of a shooting type. They're looking to just get it and huck it deep. The Spinners and the Stags have routinely, over the last 2 years, had the highest T-pops in the league, akin to their playing style of just dump swings, resets, easy throws, easy looks, all the way up the field for scores. It's my favorite stat. It just makes the most sense. It's just your T-pop. You see how much a team touches the disc.
We're going to dig deeply into T-pop next time we get you on here, because we're going to talk about some players specifically, some teams specifically. But for now, that is all the time we have.
We have
rambled on for a while. So that's all we have for today. Again, if you have any questions, hit us up at Cleats Cufflinks, at Nick Darling, at
MLU Luke R.
MLU Luke R. And we'll be happy to answer. And check out the new stats interface. I think you're really going to enjoy it. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us at Cleats and Cufflinks.